Our next teller is one who told a really scary story. I don't know, was it last year, 2 years ago at Folklife? Her name is Jo Walter, and she's from Bainbridge. Oh, I'm sorry. She's from the other B that you take the ferry to, from Bremerton. You see, they gave me a lot of blank pages. And I'm filling in for Fern Zimmerman, who didn't come tonight. So, anyway. What was I saying? Jo has announced to me tonight that she has the honor of being chosen to tell at the National Storytelling Conference to be held in Los Angeles this summer. Now, you don't just pick anybody to tell, because people from all over the country apply to strut their stuff at one of the showcases, and she is one from the Pacific region. So before she even starts, we know that she's worth every ounce of applause that she gets tonight. She has a huge repertoire in the hundreds of stories, and I'm not sure which one she's going to tell tonight, but give her a Folklife welcome, Jo Walter.
I'm told that I tell long stories, and good friends of mine have said that, you know, they love me, but there's a limit to how long a story they want to listen to. So I'm going to attempt to tell shorter stories tonight. That witchy story from the Ghost Night, that was the whole of the 25 minutes that we had to tell a story. As a storyteller, I've been disappointed when people say that, well, I guess you're going to be telling some fairy tales. They assume that I'm a storyteller and therefore must have a lot of fairy tales, and I really haven't. But I recently saw the movie The Brothers Grimm. Has anybody seen that? Fabulous. And I decided it was time to embrace fairy tales. And I have one for you. It is a Grimm tale. There was a mother, and she had two daughters. And she loved the first one very much. It was her own daughter. The other one she didn't love so much. That was her foster daughter. Now, the sister didn't care much for the foster daughter either. And the reason why was because she had an apron that she lusted after. It was an apron that had been embroidered by the girl's mother before she passed away. Now, this girl went on and on about the apron and how she hated the one who owned it and how she wanted it for herself. She went on and on so much that finally her mother, who was a real witch, said, "I can fix this. Tonight, when you go to bed," now the two girls shared a bed, "when you go to bed, make sure that you get on the side of the bed that is close to the wall and put your foster sister at the edge. And I will creep in the middle of the night with my axe, and I will feel who's at the edge of the bed, and I'll find her neck, and I will chop off her head for an apron." Well, it happened. But the girl had overheard what the other two had said, and when she went to bed, she acted as though she was asleep, but she really wasn't. And when she heard her sister snoring away over on the side by the wall, she gently rolled her over, and she herself went on the side by the wall. And the mother came in the dark of night with her axe, and she felt along, and she found the neck, and she chopped off the head of her own daughter. And then she went back to bed. Well, the foster daughter knew that there was going to be trouble in the morning. So she got out of bed, and she went into the foster mother's, the real witch, into her room, and she took her magic wand, because she knew that if she had the magic wand, she'd be able to find her wherever she was. So she took the magic wand and she went to the house of her sweetheart, Roland. And she explained what had happened and said, "Roland, if you ever loved me, you gotta love me now." So the two of them ran away. They ran as fast and as far as they could. And in the morning, the mother woke up and she went into that bedroom and discovered what she had done. And she was very upset. She screamed and she yelled and she tore at her hair, and she knew that she had to go and find that girl because she knew who was responsible. She looked for her magic wand and she couldn't find it. But she did have her 7-league boots. She put them on and she went tramping all around the countryside, and she saw them. But the girl saw her first, and she took her magic wand and she turned her sweetheart Roland into a lake. And she turned herself into a swan swimming in the middle of the lake. And when the witch came and stood at the edge of the lake and talked sweet nothings to the swan, it was no use. She threw breadcrumbs and the swan would not come to her. And finally it got late and it got dark and she had to go home. So the girl turned herself back into herself and Roland back into Roland, and they ran as far and as fast as they could. The next morning the witch woke up and she put on her 7-league boots and she went tramping across the countryside, but the girl saw her coming. And she turned her sweetheart, Roland, into a fiddler. And she turned herself into a beautiful flower that was growing deep inside a thorny briar patch. So when the witch arrived, she looked at Roland, the fiddler, and she looked at that flower and said, "Oh, how beautiful. I'd like to pluck it." And he said, "All right, go ahead, and I'll play for you." Well, she reached into that briar, and it was full of sharp thorns, and it was sort of snagging on her clothes. But he started to play the fiddle, and of course it was a magic fiddle, and she had to dance. So the more he played, the more she danced, and the more her clothing got torn up, and she went deeper and deeper trying to get that flower, and her skin started to get scratched, and it started to bleed, and it started to tear, and it started to, she's dancing like crazy, and her skin was flapping around as she was dancing, and finally she danced herself to death. And the girl took the magic wand, and she turned herself back into a girl, and she turned Roland back into Roland, and he said, "Okay, well, that's taken care of. Now we can get married." And he said he would go home, and he'd make arrangements with his father. And she said, "All right, well, I'll just wait here, and while I'm waiting, I'll just turn myself into a red stone on the floor of the forest." And she did. Well, he goes home, and first thing, he meets this other woman that he decides to get married to. And she waited and waited and waited, and finally, she got pretty depressed. And she decided that she would change herself. Instead of being a red stone on the floor of the forest, she thought she'd change herself into a flower growing on the floor of the forest, and maybe somebody would come along and trample on her. Well, somebody came along, but he didn't trample on her. He was a shepherd, and he looked at this beautiful flower and thought, "I'd like to pluck it." And he did. And he took her home, and he decided to save this flower, and he put it into a wooden box on top of his mantle. And then things began to change around the shepherd's cottage. When he would come home from work, he would find that everything was neat and tidy, and the fire was roaring in the fireplace, and the table was set, and there was a delicious meal on the stove, and he was very happy about this. But then he started to get worried because it was almost too good to be true, and maybe there was some magic involved, and maybe it was dangerous. So he went to the wise woman, and the wise woman said, "Yeah, there is magic involved, and what you should do is take this white cloth, and tomorrow when you wake up, keep your eyes closed, except squint them just a little bit so you can look around the room. And if you see something unusual, take the white cloth and throw it over the unusual thing, and the mystery will be solved." So the next morning, he woke up, But he kept his eyes closed, except for squinting them just a little bit so he could look around the room. And he saw the lid of the wooden box fly off, and out hops this flower. And he takes the white cloth and he throws it on top of the flower, and the girl appeared before him. And she told her whole story. And she was really very beautiful. And he thought, well, she's very nice, and she's a wonderful housekeeper. So he asked, maybe would you like to get married? And she said, well, even though he has forsaken me, I will be true to my sweetheart, Roland. But in the meantime, I'll stick around and continue with the housekeeping. It was announced that Roland was marrying the new gal. And it was the tradition in that part of the world at that time that when a couple was married, all of the unmarried maidens in the community would come and dance in honor of the wedding couple. And she didn't really want to go, but she had to. And she did. And when Roland saw her dancing, his heart opened wide and he realized, this is my true bride. And he would have no other. And her heart opened wide, and all of her sorrows were over, and together they lived happily ever after. But there's a rule among storytellers that you can adapt stories, you can do things to them, but you really shouldn't change the ending. But my daughter, who's now 12, when she was 8 and just becoming a writer, she heard this story and said, this is a rotten ending. So she rewrote it. And her name is Eleni. And this is the ending that Eleni thinks this story should have. When the girl began to dance, Roland saw her and his heart opened wide. And he said, she is my true bride and I will have no other. And she smacked herself in the forehead. She pulled her hair back and said, does it say STUPID right here? She said, Roland, after the way you treated me, I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man on earth. But there's this really nice shepherd here, and he's asked me to marry him, and I think maybe I will. And Roland, he just laughed, ha ha, and he said, well, I'll just marry this other one here. And the other one took her hand and smacked her forehead and said, does it say STUPID here? You know, Roland, the way you treated the first girl, I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man on earth. And Roland went away, sad and dejected and rejected. And nobody really knows what happened to him, and nobody much cares. But everybody else lived happily ever after. My Eleni isn't here tonight, but I'm going to assure her that she got a big laugh. Okay, so that was grim. We need something that's not so grim. I am a preschool teacher who does not get to tell grim tales to my 3 to 5-year-olds. But they like Winnie the Pooh, and I've learned a poem that's written by A.A. Milne, and it's called The King's Breakfast. The king asked the queen, and the queen asked the dairymaid, I would like some butter for the royal slice of bread. The queen asked the dairymaid said, certainly, I'll go and tell the cow now before she goes to bed. The dairymaid, she curtsied and went to the Alderney. Don't forget the butter for the royal slice of bread. The Alderney said sleepily, you'd better tell his majesty that many people nowadays like marmalade instead. The dairymaid said fancy and went to her majesty. She curtsied to her majesty and turned a little red. Excuse me, your majesty, for taking of the liberty, but marmalade is tasty if it's very thickly spread. The queen said, oh, and went to his majesty. Speaking of the butter for the royal slice of bread, Many people nowadays think marmalade is nicer. Would you like to try a little marmalade instead? The king said, bother. And then he said, oh, dearie me. And then he sobbed, oh, dearie me, and went back to bed. Nobody, he whimpered, could call me a fussy man. I only want a little bit of butter for my bread. The queen said, there, there, and went to the dairymaid. The dairymaid said, there, there, and went to the shed. The cow said, there, there, I didn't really mean it. Here's milk for his porringer and butter for his bread. The queen took the butter and she brought it to his majesty. His majesty said, butter, eh? And bounced out of bed. Nobody, my darling, could call me a fussy man. Nobody, he said, as he slid down the banister. Nobody, my love, would call me a fussy man, but I do like a little bit of butter to my bread. I'm watching the clock. Okay. We're in England, so this is one of my favorite story writers is Eleanor Fargen, and this is a story from her book called The Little Book Room. It's called Young Kate. Old Miss Daw lived in a narrow house at the edge of town, and she kept a young servant, and her name was Kate. And one day, she sent Kate up to the attic to clean the windows. And while she was cleaning the windows, Kate looked out and she saw a great green meadow outside. And when her work was done, she went to Miss Daw and said, is it all right if I go out to the meadow? And Miss Daw said, certainly not. You might meet the green woman. Now, close the gate and get out your mending. So she did. The next week, she was sent upstairs to the attic to clean the windows, and when she looked out, this time she saw the valley with the river running through it, and when her work was done, she went to old Miss Daw, and she asked, can I go to the river? And she said, certainly not. If you go to the river, you might meet the River King. Now, close the windows and polish the brasses. And she did. A week later, she's upstairs again in the attic cleaning the windows, and she looks out and she looks on the hill and she sees the woods, a little forest, beautiful, going up the hill. And when her work was all done, she went to Miss Daw and said, can I go out to the woods? And she said, certainly not. If you do, you might meet the dancing boy. Now, close the shutters, peel the potatoes. And she did. She didn't send her back up to the attic. And Kate continued to work for old Miss Daw for 6 more years. And then Miss Daw died. And Kate needed to find a new job. And the place that she found was in the town on the other side of the hill. And Kate didn't have any money for a ride, so she had to walk. But she didn't walk on the road. As soon as she could, she went into the meadow. And who do you think she met there? The Green Woman. And the green woman said, hello, Kate, where are you going? And she says, well, I'm off to the town on the other side of the hill. And she said, well, you should have gone on the road if you wanted to get there quick, because no one goes through my meadow unless they plant some flowers. And she took the green woman's trowel and she planted a daisy. And the green woman said, well, now why don't you go ahead and pick all the flowers that you like? And she did. And she said, now for the rest of your days, whenever you plant a flower, you will always pick 50. And she gave her a kiss, and Kate went on her way. But she didn't go by the road. She went into the river valley. And who do you think she met there? The River King. And the River King said to her, hello, Kate, where are you going? And she says, well, I'm going to the town on the other side of the hill. And he said, well, you should have taken the road if you want to get there quick, because I don't let anyone pass through my valley unless they stop to sing a song for me. And she said she'd be glad to, and she did. And he said, all right, now listen to me. And he sang a song, and he sang another and another and another. And he said to her, now, for the rest of your days, whenever you sing a song, you will hear 50. And he gave her a kiss, and she went on her way. But she didn't go on the road. This time she went up the hill and into the woods, where she met the dancing boy. And the dancing boy said, hello, Kate, and where are you going? She said, I'm going to the town on the other side of the hill. And he said, well, if you wanted to get there quick, you should have stuck with the road, because nobody gets through my woods without stopping to give me a dance. And she said, I'd love to, and she did. And then he said, now watch me. And he gave her a dance, and another, and another. And nighttime turned to day, and the sun came up, and he was still dancing. And when he was done, he said that for the rest of her days, whenever she gave someone a dance, she would receive 50. And he gave her a kiss, and she went on her way. And she got to her new place. She worked for old Miss Drew, who also had a narrow house at the edge of the town. And she didn't get to go back to the meadow or to the river valley or to the woods. But she grew up and she got married. And she had some children. And she had a servant of her own. And every day when the work was done, she would send all of her children and her servant out to play in the woods and in the meadow and in the valley. And every day she would say to them, keep an eye out, because if you're lucky, you might meet the green woman or the river king or the dancing boy. And when they would come back, they would always come back to her singing and dancing and with their arms overflowing with flowers. Eleanor Farjeon, F-A-R-J-E-O-N. I love her. Okay, my last short tale. A child was born, and his parents loved him very much, but they didn't know his name. So together, they went out into the woods and they sat down and they listened and they waited until his true name became clear to them. And there was a ceremony, and all of the people who loved him came to the ceremony and they called him by his name. And the boy grew older, and he had a coming-of-age ceremony. And all of the people who loved him came, and they called him by his name. And he grew older, and he fell in love, and he got married. And there was a ceremony, and all of the people who loved him came, and they called him by his name. And he grew older, and he made a mistake. He committed an error. He committed a crime. And there was no judge, and there was no jail, but there was a ceremony. And all of the people who loved him came, and they called him by his name. And they stood around him in a circle. And he faced each one of these people, and they told him stories. They told him stories about himself and every good thing that they knew about him. And they told him stories, and they did not stop until he remembered who he truly was. Thank you very much.